many people are experiencing a crisis of faith. It's not that most people don't believe in God, but is God really involved in our everyday lives? Where is God when bad things happen? Faced with life's difficulties, many people simply have no confidence that there will be a better tomorrow. We have a lot of religion in this country, but do we have much faith? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
It's a paradox that while many people in this country believe in the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ as the Son of God, at the same time, they view the teachings and promises of the Bible as judgmental and archaic. The popular approach is to accept and validate all opinions, no matter what they are. But let's face it, that approach inevitably produces doubt. Doubt in any concept of absolute truth. Doubt that anything or anyone can be trusted. Now, when it comes to a relationship with God, this doubt undermines a person's ability to have faith. According to the Bible, faith is a requirement for anyone to receive eternal life. We may not deny the existence of God, but because of the materialism, humanism, and moral relativism of society around us, we convince ourselves that God is not involved in human affairs. We see life through a prism that leaves God out of the picture. At least he's not involved in our lives in a personal way. Be honest. Do you even think to include God in your everyday decisions? Or is your interaction with him just a once-a-week go-to-church experience at best? Even for professing Christians, religion is often superficial. Many lack a basic knowledge of the teachings of the Bible, or even their denomination's beliefs. Far too many have come to believe that every aspect of life is simply a matter of personal choice, and nothing matters beyond our feelings. Instead of relying on God, we trust only ourselves to solve our problems. The result? Well, our problems just don't go away. They go on and on. Then, because emotions are so subjective, people are left confused and left grasping for anything that offers hope, including the latest New Age teaching or ancient meditation technique. Pollster George Barna commented on America's Christianity in his research compiled in the Index of Leading Spiritual Indicators, published back in 1996. He writes, "I am quite confident you will agree that Americans are religious people. Personally, I am less persuaded that we are truly a Christian people, regardless of our self-perceptions." Now, he came to this conclusion after polling numerous Christians and discovering a wide margin between belief and practice. While many people claim to be Christian, religious, or spiritual, surveys show that a majority of these same people have little knowledge of the Bible. Or even if they do, the teachings of the Bible have little effect on their everyday lives. If the United States, said by some to be the most Christian-professing nation, is having such problems, what does that tell us about the rest of the Christian world? Lack of faith. An active living trust, a relationship with our Creator, is a widespread problem affecting everyone. Now, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, go get one and follow along. And let's start in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The writer here is writing about faith in God, and he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," speaking of God. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So without this attribute called faith, it is impossible for someone to please God. So first of all, we have to ask, what is faith? Is it simply believing that God exists? Is it a set of doctrines? Notice what we just read in Hebrews 11. It says that we must believe that God is, believe that he is the rewarder, and diligently seek him. Jesus Christ makes an important comment on worship of God, recorded in John 4:23. He says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." You see, our worship of God must be a reflection of truth. Although worship involves feelings and emotions, God expects us to understand how and why we worship Him. Faith is more than an emotional experience. Only by understanding how God wants to be worshipped and why we are to revere Him can we develop the unshakable faith spoken of in the Bible. In this sense, faith is dynamic because it involves a relationship with God. Jesus tells His disciples, "And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily." Although Christ assures us God will answer our prayers, do we have the faith that He will answer our prayers? Do you have the faith that He will answer yours? You know, when Christ concluded this parable, He asked a question which has profound implications for all of us. He said, "When the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" Let's go back to Hebrews 11 to find a definition of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance, the solid ground, the realization and the evidence or proof of things we don't see. Faith is an attitude. It is a trust in God that is experienced before you experience the proof. This trust leads to commitment of energy, emotions, thought, and action. James, a half-brother of Jesus, wrote an important letter to first-century Christian churches. Some were teaching that faith was nothing more than belief in God. James responds to this definition of faith in James chapter 2. Let's start in verse 14. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works.' And James says, 'I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Here James argues that even Satan and the demons believe in God, yet they're still evil. Belief in God's existence isn't dynamic faith. It is interesting that Martin Luther had such difficulty with this book that he claimed that the writings of James should be removed from the Scripture. James isn't promoting that a person can earn eternal salvation through piling up a list of good works. When the good list is longer than the bad list, then God rewards us with eternal life. That's not what he's saying. The point of this passage is that real faith produces action. James makes the same point in the next few verses where he writes, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.'" You see, Abraham's faith, which was total trust in God's benevolence and honesty, he was willing to obey God even when the immediate results were unclear. James refers to the incident here recorded in Genesis where Abraham is asked by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham knew that the Creator had never sanctioned or asked for human sacrifice. He also knew that God had given him a promise that he would bless Isaac's descendants. Now, how can Isaac have descendants if Abraham kills him? Abraham believed that God would resurrect Isaac. He believed that God would carry out his promises. His faith led to such commitment that he was willing to obey God, no matter what the personal price. This is why the Bible calls Abraham the father of the faithful. Can you have that kind of faith? How can we live beyond belief and begin to live by faith? The free booklet we're offering on today's program is You Can Have Living Faith. This 30-page booklet expounds upon the biblical basis of faith and how it is a vital ingredient to our relationship with God. In the next segment, we're going to be talking with the author of this booklet. But first, here's how you can get your free copy.
Our world is experiencing a crisis of faith. Few people place much faith in the future. At the same time, many people view the values and promises of the Bible as judgmental and archaic. You need to request a copy of our easy-to-read 30-page booklet, You Can Have Living Faith. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We have back on Good News Radio today one of our favorite guests, pastor and author David Trebig, on a telephone hookup from a United Youth Camp in Williams Bay, Wisconsin. David, we're glad to have you back with us.
Thanks, Gary. It's nice to be back.
You know, there's a concept among many Christians that all we have to do to please God is to believe in Him. Now, obviously, a person must believe in God in order to have a relationship with Him, so belief is a requirement for salvation. But the Scripture says that we must have faith in order to please Him. What is the difference between belief and faith?
Belief in God means knowing or understanding that He exists. Faith, by contrast, is a much deeper relationship with God. It's a higher level relationship because it includes not only an accurate understanding of God and His expectations of us as humans, but also includes action based on this understanding. People of faith are thus not as easily swayed by the ever-shifting vagaries of popular opinion. People of faith, in their lives, they live them truly expecting God to do and fulfill His promises.
Well, this is a question I think many Christians have wondered from time to time. Why is it so difficult for us to have the same level of faith as it seems people did in the Bible?
There are a number of factors that undermine our ability to have faith. Some of these are elements of our modern society. Others are simply part of life. One faith-hindering aspect of today's world is relativism, the belief that there is no absolute knowledge or correct way to live. Relativism is based upon the idea that everyone's opinions and ideas are equally valid. Within Christianity, relativism has made inroads with things like, there are many roads to heaven, and it doesn't matter what you do as long as you believe in Jesus. While it's good for people to be respectful of each other, these sayings miss the mark in terms of helping people develop the faith of the Bible. People who have biblical faith know that Jesus said, "Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." That comes from Matthew 7. We just can't have it both ways. We can't believe that all ideas and all actions are equally valid and truly believe what Jesus said at the same time. When we try to do this, we end up muddled and confused and are rendered incapable of developing the kind of faith that leads to salvation.
Now, in the booklet that we're offering today, You Can Have Living Faith, you talk about what you call are the enemies of faith. Now, let's talk about those issues. First, you mentioned worry.
Now we're starting to discuss some of the human tendencies that can undermine faith. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus himself told us not to overly worry about our physical lives, what we would eat, drink, and wear. We all enjoy the good things in life, nice clothes, good food, good friends, new cars, homes, electronic gadgets. These things are not inherently evil, but they're so attractive and in many cases even necessary that they can consume all our attention. We worry about whether we will have them. We worry about how many of them we can obtain. We worry about which brands or types we'll be able to afford. This inordinate focus on physical things is called materialism, and materialism is an enemy of faith because it takes our attention away from God.
So in the booklet, you also mentioned two things, fear and doubt.
Yes, fear and doubt also undermine faith. When we have great fears, for example, we don't always function as rationally and sound-mindedly as we might under better circumstances. As for doubt, many of us likely recall the biblical example of Peter walking on water to come to Jesus. When Peter began to doubt, and when he began to reason with himself, he was probably saying something like, "What am I doing here? Don't I know this isn't physically possible for me to do?" When those thoughts began coming to him, he began to sink. Jesus' response to Peter was, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This comes from Matthew, the 8th chapter. Peter was doing okay until he began to doubt, and that's a lesson for us today, too. Doubt undermines faith.
Now, I find it interesting that you list as one of the enemies of faith, quote, human reasoning without spiritual understanding. Now, what do you mean by that?
I use that phrase to describe what happens when people work things out in their own minds without a proper biblical basis. The only result they can come to then is a mistaken conclusion. For example, a person could decide to embezzle or steal a small amount of money from their employer. They might reason that if they didn't get caught, that God approved of their deed. They might even rationalize that they were using the stolen money for good. But all of this would still be wrong. God doesn't condone stealing. So judgments made without sound biblical understanding can also undermine faith and lead us down a wrong track.
How can a person grow in their confidence and faith in God? We'll be back to discuss this and more right after these messages.
Our world is experiencing a crisis of faith. Few people place much faith in the future. Many have no faith that their marriages will survive, that political leaders will honorably serve their country, or that education will prepare them adequately for the challenges ahead. Faced with the difficulties of everyday life, many people simply have no confidence that there will be a better tomorrow. At the same time, many people view the values and promises of the Bible as judgmental and archaic. Even for professing Christians, religion is often superficial. You need to request a copy of our easy-to-read, 30-page booklet, You Can Have Living Faith. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, you can discover God's promises to you found in the pages of your Bible. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back with David Trabig, author of You Can Have Living Faith. In the booklet, David, you devote an entire chapter to growing in faith. Now, what do you mean by growing in faith, and how would a person do that?
No one starts out as a spiritual giant in terms of faith. We all have to grow. It's like a child growing up. Perhaps an analogy can help us understand this concept. Weightlifters don't start out being able to lift tremendous amounts of weight. They have to start by lifting smaller amounts of weight. And through training, their muscles develop, and eventually they're able to lift hundreds of pounds. The same thing is true spiritually. Faith is developed over time through various tests and trials.
Okay, now that brings us to the tough question I think all Christians face. Why does God sometimes test our faith?
The simple answer to that is because testing our faith is good for us. On the surface, of course, this is hard for us humans to appreciate. We like everything to go smoothly and peacefully. We don't enjoy problems and difficulties. But such times of duress make it possible for us to build faith. It's again like that weightlifter who must lift weights to develop muscles. Successfully dealing with trials is what builds faith. And this is why Peter wrote, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." That comes from 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 13. So simply stated, in order to grow in faith, we have to wrestle with problems.
You know, that's really a surprising statement. Isn't that different than what most people think about God?
Yes, it is. Many people have the idea that Christianity today is simply a celebration of what Christ did for us. There truly is a lot that Christ did, but many people don't realize following Christ also requires action on our part. For example, there are a couple of passages in 1 Peter that help us understand this. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 19 and 20, for example, we read, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." So God sees that such action is good. In fact, it gets even stronger. God's design and plan for us, just a couple of chapters later, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, where he wrote, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." So if we're truly willing to fulfill by our actions what Christ asks us to do, we have built character, we have built faith, the kind of faith that God is looking for.
Well, David, as always, it's been a pleasure having you with us here on Good News Radio.
Thanks for having me.
To get your copy of You Can Have Living Faith, all you have to do is call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. All literature offered on Good News Radio is free. There's never a charge or a follow-up asking for money. You know, a man came to Jesus asking him to heal his son. Jesus told him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." The man's answer shows a remarkable understanding of dynamic faith. He says to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." What a one-sentence statement of the human condition. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." There's an often-told story about a famous tightrope walker named Zambrotti. It seems that Zambrotti actually walked over Niagara Falls on an extremely windy day. When he made it across, people crowded around him, congratulating him on an incredible feat. One man appeared out of the crowd with a wheelbarrow. The man with the wheelbarrow told Zambrotti that he believed the tightrope walker was so skilled he could walk back across the falls pushing the wheelbarrow. Zambrotti, of course, declined since he had been fortunate to survive the first experience. The man continued to urge him to try, encouraging Zambrotti with praise. Finally, the tightrope walker asked the man if he really believed he could push a wheelbarrow on a rope across Niagara Falls. The man assured him that he believed. "Okay," Zambrotti replied, "you get into the wheelbarrow." We may believe in God and Jesus Christ. We may believe that Jesus is capable of walking the tightrope of life. But are we willing to get into the wheelbarrow? To get into the wheelbarrow and trust that he will carry us across takes more than belief. That is the substance of faith. If you would like to comment on today's program, and we may even read your comment on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. And we always appreciate your feedback on the program. And I know that many people are searching for practical information concerning how to live a Christian life in a confused and many times secular society. Let me tell you about a magazine that's available free of charge online. It's called the Virtual Christian Magazine. The web address is vcmagazine.org. The Virtual Christian Magazine features current articles on family life, how to have a better relationship with God, dealing with job problems, and it has an archive section where you can look up articles from past issues. Again, the web address, vcmagazine.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, it's always up to you. Join us next time, where we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Our world is experiencing a crisis of faith. Few people place much faith in the future. At the same time, many people view the values and promises of the Bible as judgmental and archaic. You need to request a copy of our easy-to-read 30-page booklet, You Can Have Living Faith. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.